listening to Live 95 WRJM LP Coleman. It is 4 o'clock on a Tuesday. You're listening to Live 95. Welcome to Tuesday Afternoon and Sports Talk Live. We are WRJM LP Coleman, Coleman's Independent Radio. And here are your hosts for Sports Talk Live, Jason Spiegel and Ronnie Barnes.
Thanks, Jay. Welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of Sports Talk Live. Ronnie, a rainy Tuesday, but not raining in here.
Not right. That's exactly right. Good day to be inside and have your radio turned on to 99.5.
99.5. You better change that.
95.5.
Why do y'all keep trying to push country down my throat? I do not want country in here.
Yeah, there for a while you played us a little Brad Paisley, yeah. You know, with the when we were going to our fishing segment. And yeah.
That didn't last very long, did it?
No, it sure didn't.
No, we enjoyed it while we had it.
Yeah, that's right.
Country music, and speaking of country music, we don't want to turn this into a country music show.
No,
Jay would fall out on the floor.
He'd cut us off.
But for those of you that haven't heard, Garth Brooks will be in Birmingham, I think, June 12th and 13th, and that's an oldie but a goodie.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, he's making the rounds again. You know, he retired, I think, for 14 years.
Yeah, he's probably, you know, he's probably had to get back in.
Yeah, he's broke. That's it. Bless his heart. So.
Yeah, he can't make his house payment anymore.
He said, running before retiring, that he had enough money that his kids' grandkids wouldn't be able to spend it all.
Man.
And that's back when concert tickets. I went to, I think, 3 of his concerts over the years. And concert tickets, $18 at that time for a concert
ticket. Oh, really?
And I think Kathy and I went to see Bob Seger at the Civic Center, been 2-3 years ago. And I think face value of that ticket, it was a lower level seat, I think it was $80.
Wow.
And that's where he has been, Bob Seger. An old man that looks like me.
Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band.
Silver Bullet Band.
That's exactly right.
Well, he had some good ones.
Yes, he did.
And there's people sitting out there now, younger generation, saying, who is Bob Seger?
I know, that's right.
What's the Coors beer?
Isn't
the Silver
sad?
Bullet.
Isn't that sad they don't know who that is?
Oh, man, he was a good one, so.
Bob
Enough
Seger,
about that, Ronnie. What
Stevie
we got on
Miller.
The sports? Let me make this announcement first. Yeah. Anybody that's tuned in on Tuesdays, now that the sports scene has kind of slowed down a little bit, we've got some time to do things that we had talked about in the past, and we will start from time to time. May not do it every Tuesday, but when we can, doing a segment called "Where Are They Now?"
Yeah.
And looking forward to that today. Our first guest on Where Are They Now at 4:30 will be Coach Jesse George from Cold Springs.
That's a great segment, Jason. I wish I had been the one who came up with that, but I have to give you all the credit for it.
Well,
so,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, but I think it's a great idea because, you know, we talk about, you know, people that, you know, we used to know, either coaches or players or you know, who knows, maybe even officials or, you know, just friends, and we wonder, you know, where did they get off to? And many times we don't have a clue.
And I'm telling you, I talked to Coach George on the phone today for about 10 minutes, and he is full of life. I think I have no idea how old he is. Somebody out there probably does, but I'm going to say between 75 and 80. And he is as sharp as a tack, I'm telling you. So
now he lives in Jasper,
yeah,
correct?
He lives in Walker County, between Curry and Jasper somewhere, I think. But actually, if you Google his name, put Jesse George, Alabama, or Walker County, and it will pull up a business he's got now. He and his wife, Tara, have a flower business, and I'm sure he'll tell us about that. But I guess that's why he's still so sharp. He's not slowing down.
That's right. So. He continues to work and continue to use his mind and stays as active as he possibly can. So, that's great.
Now, to give folks an idea of his age, I graduated in 1983, and he retired my senior year. So,
been a while.
Yeah, been a while. But I think he's as sharp today as he was in 1983.
Yeah, so. And depending on how many years he had, he would have been at least probably a minimum of 50 years old.
Yeah.
When he retired, probably. Unless he retired, you know, like he may have started when he was 22. If he retired, you know, at 25, then he would have been 47. But he's going to be around 50, if not older, when he retired.
I've been out of school. This year will be 32 years.
Okay. So, he may be he may be, you know, somewhere between 80 to 82, maybe even a little older than that, possibly. So, hey, if I can still, I think I speak for you. If I can still be active and still, you know, remember my name and that kind of stuff when I'm 82, hey, I sign on for that.
Oh, yeah, any day.
Absolutely.
Hey, speaking of age, let's go to the PGA right quick.
Age?
Yeah, oh, age. Okay. Not AIDS. Yeah, speaking of AIDS, we're going to go to the PGA. Over in Augusta.
I thought there was a medical breakthrough or something there.
A guy that is still wet behind the ears, as we say in the country.
That's right.
Takes home the green jacket.
Brings home the bacon.
How much money did Mr. Is it Spieth? Is that the way you pronounce it?
Spieth.
Spieth.
Jordan Spieth, 21 years old.
How much money did he rake in from that? You got any idea?
Yeah, I can tell you exactly how much he raked in. Jordan Spieth won the Masters on Sunday. He raked in $1.8
million.
Now, Jason, let me, while we're already on it, let me break that down for you just a little bit. $1.8 million, we all know that's a tremendous amount of money. Per stroke, he had a total stroke tournament of 270 strokes for four rounds. That averaged out to almost $6,700 every time he swung and hit the ball.
Wow.
So if he had a par five and he got five on it,
hey, I just go out and hit one time, hit one ball, I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm going to the house.
Give him my $6,700.
Yeah.
Almost $35,000 for one par five if he parred.
And running, why didn't we try something like that?
You think we shouldn't be encouraging our kids, our grandkids?
If you got a 2-year-old,
get them a set of golf clubs. You are absolutely right. So, he walked away with $1.8 million. I'll give you a couple more, Jason. Phil Mickelson and Justin Rose, they tied for second. They took in $880,000. Justin Rose, you may not have seen it. He missed his putt on 18.
I
par.
It off by
he missed a par putt on 18 that he would have finished in second by himself. That one putt cost him, I think, about $230,000.
Ooh, that's painful.
You better believe it. Roy McIlroy, he finished fourth, and he skims by at $480,000.
I don't know how he can continue to play.
I don't either.
That kind of money.
I don't either. The lowest paid guy out there, I think I heard this was like $23,000 to $25,000. You know, for that
four days
of work.
Golf.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not work, golf.
Yeah, exactly. You're right.
And maybe if you're at the very bottom and you're not ever taking home a penny, it might be work then, but
yeah.
Boy. You talking about a living, playing golf?
Oh, absolutely.
Traveling.
You know, in most cases, you know, your health is going to be good. You know, it's not like, of course, you know, playing any professional sport is, I mean, gosh, how much better could it get, you know? However, you know, if you are playing basketball or baseball, you're on the road all the time. You know, basketball plays 82 games. Baseball, I think, is 162 games. You talk about being exhausted. Now, golf, you know?
Yeah.
You go on Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever, play you a couple practice rounds. You're there for the rest of the week. You know, you're renting a house. You're staying there, and then you go home for a few days and do the same thing again. I mean, there is travel, but it's not the extensive travel like you have in basketball and baseball. It's where, you know, every day or two you're having to repack and get on a plane and, you know, fly somewhere. So, again, golf is the sport to play.
Oh, yeah. And did you hear, you probably heard this because I think you watched most of it, talking about his family all being there and a place that they were at all staying together, and he didn't allow anybody to watch golf while he was there.
Yeah. I'd heard that they had two houses rented. One of them they slept in, and the other one they, you know, just watched, you know, TV, played video games, played cards, whatever, but there was no talk of golf whatsoever. But, I mean, he is a talent. There's no question about that.
There's no telling how big a wave he's going to make.
That's right. You know, I'll ask you this. Now, he was 2 or 3 months older than Tiger was when Tiger won the Masters at his youngest. They were both 21 years old, but, Jordan Spieth is a few months older than Tiger was. By seeing Jordan Spieth's first win and Tiger when he first won, do you think, in your opinion, that Spieth can have anywhere near close to the career that Tiger's had?
I don't. I think Tiger is a once-in-a-lifetime type player.
Completely agree. Yeah. As good a player as Spieth is, I don't think anything compares with Tiger when he came on the scene.
Tiger's just a freak accident.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just one of those things that...
And when he was right and when he was in his prime, if he was in the tournament, he was going to win the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, you know, the vast majority of the other golfers that were playing in the tournament knew that.
Yeah, playing for second.
That's exactly right. He just completely dominated golf for, gosh, easily 10 years. So while Spieth had a huge win, is a great player, I don't think he's going to have the ability, the God-given ability, to perform. And maybe he can. It'd be great if he could. I just don't see it. I don't think he has the physical tools that Tiger had when Tiger first came on the scene. I mean, Tiger was so long, you know, off the tee, and it was amazing. Now, Spieth is not—he's not that. If you noticed, Justin Rose outdrove him a lot of the time, so he's not as long as some of the other guys. I think that may hurt him as time goes on, like a Roy McIlroy. You know, if he's playing head up with Roy and they both drive the ball, if Roy is 10 to 20 yards in front of him, you know, Spieth may be having to hit a 7-iron into the green and Roy is going to be hitting a 9-iron. As the tournament goes on, that is a huge advantage.
Right.
So I think, for me, that's one part of it, his length.
Tiger looked a little better. Tiger
made a nice showing.
Looked as good as he's looked in a long time.
A long time. I think he had a really nice tournament. I think he finished about tied for 14th or something.
Is this the beginning of the comeback for Tiger?
I don't know, Jason.
Hard to tell. I doubt it. My opinion, I doubt it. I think Tiger, as we said the other day, Ronnie, I think his better days
are behind him. I agree. He's 30. I think he's about 39. He's 36 to 39. I'm not absolutely positive on his age. So
Wikipedia will tell us.
Yeah, you just think about how many swings that he's taken in his lifetime.
He took one Sunday. He wished he had.
Oh, I know. I thought he broke his arm and wrist. Didn't you? Hey, did you? You know, they talked about it, and I've heard it on the radio too, where he'd made the comment to I don't know if it's Jim Nantz, not one Jim Nantz, somebody in the clubhouse after it was over. Did you hear that?
No.
They asked him about his wrist, and he said, and I'm not quoting, but he said, he basically knocked a bone out of place and he put the bone back in place.
Ooh.
Now, do you believe that?
No, I don't.
In
think
the wrist.
I don't think he's that tough.
In the wrist.
Yeah. No, not especially not in the wrist. I don't see Tiger putting a finger back in place.
Now, but I could believe the fact that if he had dislocated a finger and put it back. That happens all the time.
Not with Tiger Woods.
No,
Tiger,
but
he's going to make a big scene and go to the trailer. And
Right. But in you know, football, basketball, I mean, that is not uncommon, dislocating a finger. But to say you dislocated a bone was out of place in your wrist and you put that bone back in place.
And went on playing.
Yeah. You know.
Well, you're right on Tiger. He is 39 years old.
I thought he was.
Born December the 30th, 1975.
So he's 18 years older than Jordan Spieth right now. That's a lot of golf swing. That's a lot of living.
Hey, Tiger was PGA Player of the Year, to show you how dominant.
Yeah.
Read this and then a couple other things. 97, 99, 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, 2005, 2006, 2007, 2009, and 2013.
Unbelievable.
PGA Player of the Year.
And I think it was last year, Jason. Now, what was the last year of Player of the Year?
2013.
Okay. 2 years, I guess 2 years ago, that was the year that he won five tournaments. He won five times that year. Didn't win a major, but he won five tournaments. And people consider that as a disappointing year because he didn't win them. How many of those guys would give whatever, I guess, would give their eye teeth or a finger to win five tournaments in a year?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a lot of them never going to win five tournaments in a career.
Right, lifetime.
Much less in
how about
one
this,
year.
When he first, Tiger first broke 80. You ready for this?
Broke 80.
Broke 80 at the age of 8.
Oh, my goodness. I've never heard that.
At the age of 8.
He breaks 80.
Right. That is
8 years old.
And if, folks, if you don't believe how unbelievable that is,
go play
Coleman Golf Course.
Go play around the golf and see what you shoot. Breaks 80. Wow. Unbelievable. I mean, he's just he is a total freak of nature when it comes to playing golf.
There's no doubt about it.
And probably the most driven that's ever been. And that started when he was very, very young because his dad did it to him. You know.
Yeah, before turning 7, he had won the boys 10 and under division in golf before turning 7. So here he is, and folks can look this up, and we'll move on to something else in a second. It just amazes me.
It is. If you really look at his career, what he's done.
Tiger Woods at the age of 2 on the Mike Douglas show, putting at the age of 2.
I remember seeing him on Johnny Carson.
A normal kid at the age of 2 is, they're walking, but they're not coordinated walking.
No.
I mean, they're falling all over the place.
Exactly.
Tiger
is
out there carrying a little,
he's with a
little
putter.
Bitty golf case, or golf bag, and walking around putting on national
unbelievable.
Television.
Unbelievable. He truly was an unbelievable talent. You know, during his reign of when he was really good, the golf industry exploded.
Oh, yes.
I mean, you had people playing, people getting their kids involved. You know, there was money to be made in golf courses and, you know, the golfing business, you know, clubs and that kind of stuff. Now look and see. The golfing industry is as bad it's worse than it's ever been right now.
Oh, yeah. People don't have a name to hold on to.
They do not. They don't. And, you know, it's not cheap to play. And when the economy made a turn for the worst, golf industry was certainly hit. So
here's you one more thing that's going to blow your mind on Tiger Woods, and then it'll be time for a break. All right. Tiger Woods' father, Earl, a good golfer within his own right, but Tiger defeated Earl, his father, at the age of 11, and then he never lost to
again.
Earl again. Tiger Woods first broke 70. You ready for this?
So if you don't understand what that means, it means he shot 69 or less.
Right.
And 72 is normally par.
At the age, you ready for this, of 12.
He broke 70 at the age of 12.
I just want to know where they came up with all of these golfing terms like birdie and eagle and bogey. And
I don't know where the history comes from, but I know which ones I get a lot of.
Yeah.
I can spell those.
There's a lot of names for what I come up with.
There's a lot of names used while you're out there doing it.
Hey, here's one for a T-shirt. I know somebody will Google it. The name for a double eagle. What is the name for a double eagle?
Name for a double eagle.
There is a name for it other than double eagle.
Look.
Yeah. Aren't those extinct?
All right. 4:20. We'll be right back. Remember, at 4:30, Coach Jesse George will join us to talk about old times and what he's doing now.
And we'll talk about some local sports that may be going on, too, when we come back.
All right. Listen to Sports Talk Live 95.5 Coleman Tuesday edition.
Hey Coleman, Live 95 turns 1 year old on April 7th, and to celebrate, we are announcing the first annual Live 95 Battle of the Bands. If you're in a band or know someone who is, send them over to live95coleman.com for all the details. Tentative date is Saturday, May 2nd, and the whole thing will be broadcast live right here on Live 95. We invite any local band to participate, and we don't care if you're a solo acoustic performer or one of Coleman's best-known bands. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com or send us a message on our Facebook page to get booked. There is limited availability, so set times will be awarded on a first-come, first-served basis. Live 95 will be taking donations at the event, and you can vote for any of the bands performing by donating to their tip jar. If you can't make the show, no problem. Donate online using PayPal from the Live 95 website and make your vote count. We'll offer each band a chance to get local airtime on Live 95 just for participating. And we'll be recording the whole thing back at the studio to re-air live cuts from the event during Live 95's regular playlist rotation. Get signed up today. Deadline to get on the set list is Friday, April 17th at 5 p.m. The set list and schedule will then be announced on Live 95 and made available on our website. Happy birthday to us. And here's to another year of providing Coleman with a unique blend of music. Come and meet us Saturday, May 2nd, so mark your calendars. More details coming soon from Coleman's Independent Radio, Live 95.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. A prosecutor in South Alabama says his office will review a fatal police-involved shooting in front of an animal shelter. Houston County authorities say 30-year-old Robert Earl Lawrence considered himself a sovereign citizen and became disorderly after dropping off a stray animal at a shelter and being asked to show identification. Dothan police say Lawrence was repeatedly told to calm down and eventually told he was being arrested. There was a struggle and he was shot in the abdomen. Reaction to the dismissal of charges against a federal judge in a domestic violence case. A battery charge against Judge Mark Fuller was dropped because he completed a pretrial diversion program, including a domestic violence course. Under the deal, the incident is expunged from his record. Democrat Congresswoman Terry Sewell says that's unacceptable. She says it sends the wrong message about domestic violence. Sewell now calling on Congress to impeach Fuller. Decatur police say a traffic stop became a drug arrest. They stopped 36-year-old Marcus James Capenny as he appeared intoxicated and made several moving violations. A search of his car found 120 grams of synthetic marijuana. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. A North Alabama woman accused in her 7-month-old daughter's drowning death expected to undergo a mental evaluation. A May 18th court date for 29-year-old Desiree Childers delayed because a judge has ordered her to undergo a psychiatric evaluation. Authorities say Childers put her fully clothed 7-month-old daughter in a tub and left her there to drown in August 2013. Authorities in Montgomery County say 41 young people have recently been treated in local hospitals for medical issues linked to the synthetic drug known as Spice. Major Scott Simmons says part of what makes the synthetic form of marijuana so dangerous is that manufacturers use various combinations of chemicals to try and mimic the effects of pot that could have a negative or life-threatening impact on the user's health. Alcohol now sold 7 days a week in Scottsboro. City Council unanimously approving a new alcohol ordinance allowing it to be sold 24 hours a day, every day of the week. It's believed this will provide more revenue for the city. And lots of rainfall accumulating in South Alabama. A flood warning in effect for central and eastern Mobile County through the evening. I'm Angie Norvell. This is a.
Back with you, 4:23 on a rainy Tuesday afternoon. Seems like every day of the week now you can say rainy.
You can this week, for sure. It's going to be that every single day.
I want to give a shout-out right quick, Ronnie, to somebody who does a lot of, I guess you would say, advertising for Sports Talk Live. Sometimes we don't see it, but I've seen her from time to time. Sheila Banks. She's called several times, but she is very good at promoting this on Facebook, and she's letting everybody know about Mr. George or Coach George calling in today. And Sheila, we appreciate your help and appreciate you joining us from time to time.
Yeah, it's been a while since she's been on.
Yeah, she needs to give us a call today.
She was with us now when it's college football.
Oh, yeah, she's all on that.
She's all over that. Big Alabama fan, wasn't she?
Yeah. Oh, if she's listening, she has fell out in the floor right now.
So she's going to have to push her button there before she's falling. She can't get up. Thanks, Sheila. Appreciate it very much. Hey, Jason, let me go over a few local sports that's taking place today. Softball-wise, we got Good Hope against Vimont. Now, this is the county tournament they're trying to get in. I talked to Coach Witcher at Good Hope, who is a baseball coach. Today I saw him at Good Hope High School, and he said it looked like they're not going to be able to get the high school baseball tournament in. You know, they had it scheduled. It was scheduled earlier. They changed it.
You said not going to be able to get it in.
Not going to be able to play
at all.
At all. Mm. They're not going to be able to play it at all. This week is basically, you know, it looks like it's going to be a rain out, a washout all week, and then I think they were having trouble getting officials, even if they could get, play it. But He just said this has been probably the worst year they've ever had weather-wise, trying to get some, you know, baseball games in. So, and one then what also kind of complicates it a little bit, I guess, was you've got Hanceville, who's going to be in state playoffs, and that starts, I think, at the end of the week or something like that. So they can't move it because Hanceville, they're in state playoffs. So they're, you know, there's really not really nothing they can do. You can't control the weather, but the games I'm going to give you here, this was the Cullman County softball tournament, and the times I'm giving you will explain. They started early. So Good Hope was playing Vimont this morning at 9 o'clock. Cold Springs against Holly Pond. Then Fairview against Hanceville. And then, of course, then they would have the semifinals and then the championship at 3:30. We got track, Cullman County track meet at Good Hope. That started this morning. So that would probably be the county track meet as well. Again, no baseball that's taking place. So that's basically all of the local sports that we have going on today, Jason.
Good deal. And, man, I hate that for the baseball tournament. And
yeah, you know, it's just
– they could do like done when I was in high school, Ronnie. If which was most days, we didn't want to practice. We wanted to play.
Yeah,
so if it rained – and I can you imagine doing this day and time? I'm not going to say who the baseball coach was, but we had been known to go out, and first we would dig trenches on the infield to get the water to drain.
Oh, my goodness.
And then we would top it off, and I have no idea if it's done a bit of good, but we would pour gasoline on the field and light it. Try to burn that water
off. Burn that water off. Oh, my goodness. Good grief.
What would you do, Ronnie, if you were a principal still at Vimont and you went out and the baseball coach had his players out pouring gas in
my cup? I could see Mike Cupp doing that, couldn't you? But I could see Mike Cupp having Brittany Spiegel out there doing it. Or not Brittany, but Brantney.
Yeah,
that's Brantney. Brantney Spiegel.
Oh, me. Things have changed.
Absolutely.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, there have been times with all the connection he has, that they would get a helicopter from Wallace up there and hover over the field, and that'll dry it.
Yeah, now I actually saw Coleman doing that.
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't. I noticed the other day they had a big tarp. I mean, one of those fancy deals rolled out. Looked like the Atlanta Braves or something.
Right.
You know,
so. Yeah.
And not every school fortunate enough to have that.
No, they're not. But if you have the means of getting a helicopter to your field, you can dry it out pretty quick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if when I was at Cold Springs, about the only way we could have covered the field up is got some Glad trash bags and cut them up and lay rocks on them.
And you wouldn't get the heavy duty because you couldn't afford them.
Right.
Oh, man.
All right. Going to take a short break. We'll come back, hopefully, with Coach Jesse George. Be sure to stay with us. The number, 256-737-9951. Again, Coach Jesse George coming up. You're listening to Sports Talk Live.
I'm Tommy Warhurst, your farmer's insurance agent. Protecting what you value most is my job, and I take it very seriously. Is your automobile liability enough to protect all that you've worked for? Does your homeowner's policy carry replacement cost coverage on contents? Or, if something happens to you or your spouse, could you stay in your current home? I can help you answer these questions and more at 338-3701 or thewarhurstagency.com. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your Farmers Insurance Agent.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
If you're looking to make your building dream a reality, now is a great time to talk to your Morton Building Sales Consultant. Morton Buildings is a company that has been serving its customers for well over 100 years. From the first meeting with your sales consultant to the delivery and the construction, every aspect of the building process is handled by Morton. Morton Buildings constructs everything from hobby shops and suburban garages to farm storage buildings, even horse barns. With Morton, you get the building that you need and the quality and customer service the company is known for. You can make your dream come true. Available at Morton Buildings, 256-352-0406 in Garden City, or visit their website at mortonbuildings.com.
All right, back with you, 4:31, and right on time, we have Coach Jesse George. Everybody will know Coach Jesse George from Cold Springs, Alabama. Hey, Coach, welcome to Sports Talk Live.
Well, thank you.
Hey, Coach, we've got to know. Let's get this out of the way. I know you don't like to do a lot of bragging, so let me do it. Coach George coached at Cold Springs during the five-year run, running 5 years straight, winning the county title.
Coach, I guess you were well-liked by other county coaches, weren't you? You were just wearing them out?
Well, no, not really. Coleman County had some of the best coaches, I thought, in the Southeast at that time. Bill Lay, especially from Good Hope. Hansel had a tremendous coach, and we played hard, but when it was over, it was over.
Right.
And that's the way it ought to be.
Hey, Coach, Ronnie, my partner, he coached at Vinemont and later was principal at Parkside and then principal at Vinemont, and now he has retired. And so he knows right what you're talking about.
I remember him.
Yeah, probably so. He made a name for himself. So.
Yeah. Not the way Coach George did, that's for sure. Not with those many wins.
Hey, Coach, tell us what you told me today earlier about when you got to Cold Springs and started coaching basketball, about making the chart and how much of it you figured boiled down to coaching.
Well, as I told you earlier, I had coached in just out of Auburn, Opelika down there. And, you know, when you come out, when you start coaching, you think you know a lot. You really don't know anything. And you have to learn, and the learning process is sometimes it's very painful. You know, people teach you how to gamble, but it's going to cost you.
Right.
And that's about the same way, with coaching. So over a period of time, it took me to develop the type athlete, the type offense and defense I wanted to run. And you tweak it here and tweak it there, and it's a long process. So I made a chart. This was just from my observation, and when I got it was on a wheel like thing, and I divided it up like a pie, and started putting percentages on there that I thought was important. And when I finished out, I had 2% left for coaching.
No way.
That was about all it was worth, because when you put in, if you're going to make tradition, it's got to be a community thing.
Right.
The community's got to be involved. The parents have to be involved. And if the parents are involved, the kids are involved. You
right.
can't take one out and leave the other one. If mom and daddy's not really interested, a lot of times your kids are not really interested. So it helped me, though. I figured if we won a game by 2 points, then I had done my share. And if we lost it by 2 points, I'd lost it.
Yeah.
We lost it by 20 now. I didn't take credit.
Somebody paid for that at practice, didn't they?
You know, if it was just 2 points, and we had a lot of those, especially with Good Hope and Hansel. They were tough cookies, let me tell you.
Yeah. Hey, Coach, you were mentioning some of the people who were coaching at the time you were, and you mentioned, I know you mentioned Bill Lay. Do you remember
right.
some of the others that might have been coaching that still are around this area?
I don't. I've sort of lost contact with the people, but, of course, Coach Schultz that everybody knew.
Okay.
was one of the greatest coaches that I ever saw participate.
Now
was at Fairview.
Well, what was Dwayne Adams? Was that before his time?
Oh no, no.
Okay.
Well, he moved around some. You know, he was at Vinemont.
Right.
In the football, and he was at Holly Pond in basketball.
Right.
And then his brother Hugh Lee was at Vinemont in the basketball.
That's right.
And they were. Both of those were they were really good coaches.
Yeah. So Hugh Lee
had some good.
Hugh Lee was coaching Vinemont when you were at Cold Springs. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I've learned some. I didn't know they were brothers.
Oh, you didn't know that?
No, I had no idea. No. So I've already learned something today.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were. Dwayne at one school. He coached football. Another school. He coached. Basketball, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. He coached football at
Vinemont. Hey, Coach, how does...
And his brother was coaching... Hugh Lee was coaching the basketball.
That's right.
Coach, how does it feel...
And that was about the time we started the football, if I remember right, at Cold Springs, you know, in Vinemont and Goodhope.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about right on time. Coach, how does it feel to go to Cold Springs and see your name on the Jim Daysman, know that you've had such an impact on a community and on the people in the community? And I can't tell you how many people have sent me Facebook messages this afternoon wanting me to say hi to you and how much they respect you. But how does it feel to go to a place and know that you've had such an impact on a community that they named the gymnasium after you? How does that make you feel?
Well, what makes me feel great is not seeing my name up there. What makes me feel great is seeing the athletes' names.
Right.
We started that in 70 and 71, I think, when the first year we won the county championship. And one of the boys, and I don't remember which one it was, they were all, you know, good kids. They said, Coach, if we win the county championship, can we put our name on the backboard? Not on the playing, you know, head back to the backboard or to the side. And they were metal, you know, just metal backboards.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I said, oh, shoot, yeah. You win the county tournament, we'll put it wherever. So when we won the county tournament, then we put their names up on the backboard. And, well, we ran out of backboard.
Yeah.
So we started just putting them on the wall on the home side. It was just a concrete block, painted concrete block wall. And above that top bleacher, we would put the name of the year and the the basketball players and the cheerleaders. And of course, cheerleading, if you remember, the cheerleaders were part of our team.
Right. Yeah, played a big part in it.
And they went with us. And I don't know. I'd never tried it, but I had the feeling that we probably wouldn't have played if the cheerleaders couldn't go.
Right.
You know, a lot of times in the cheerleaders, they'll send the cheerleaders by another bus or another cars and all like that, but we never did.
But now you were getting
strictly part of.
You were getting direct input from the cheerleading sponsor at that time, wasn't you?
Well, more than you think.
Yeah. For those of you that don't know, Coach George's wife was the cheerleading sponsor during that time.
That's why they were on that bus.
There was a lot of input from the cheerleader sponsor. But they worked, you know, they may have worked harder than the ball team. They were the workingest group of kids I've ever seen, was those cheerleaders.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very serious with them.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, Coach, do you... I'm sorry, go ahead.
We took it pretty serious with the ball team. And of course, we worked hard. I mean, there's no doubt I probably worked them too hard, especially in the very beginning. It's not... I always thought it was pretty easy to get on top.
That's right.
But, Lord, it is hard to stay on top for any length of time.
That's right. And you
because
know,
what can you tell them, you know?
That's right.
You're changing kids out, but see, some of those parts are still there and some of them are missing. And I have people all the time that'll they'll say, well, now, who is the best ball player you ever coached? And I normally tell them this. I say, well, now, you imagine taking a real expensive Swiss watch and taking the back off. What's the most important part?
Right.
If you think they're not important, take one out, anyone.
Yeah.
And it's not going to work.
Absolutely.
And it's the same way with a, you know, with your ball team. You'll have kids that may be your most important and the best for the club, and he scores 2 points.
That's right.
You may have a kid that scored 20 points, and he hurt your club all night.
Right.
And with his 20 points, you lose. So it's a team effort. And, you know, I've coached some football also, and the way the football program is, it's pretty easy to pick the best running back because you're probably just going to have about 3. Then you go to your best offensive lineman. Well, see, it's a different team. Then you go to your best defensive lineman. That's a different team. You go to your kicking team. That's a different team. You go to your specialty team. That's a different team. Well, it's easier to pick one out of them because they're the best in each group. In the basketball, you don't have that. He's got to play defense. He's got to play offense. He's got to rebound. He's got to do it all.
He's got to do all the parts, doesn't he?
And so it is extremely hard to say this is the best team. Now, there's boys throughout the county that I thought were great athletes. Doug Lloyd. I don't know if you remember Doug.
Yeah, I remember Doug.
He was, I thought he was one of the best athletes that I ever saw in, you know, in Cullman County. And, boy, I hated to play against him.
Doug was 1975. And
yeah, but,
y'all defeated Fairview at Cold Springs to win the 5th county title, Coach. I guess you remember that one well.
We were lucky, I guess. but we, you know, we had teams that scored a lot. We had teams that didn't score a lot. It's just not the type of thing you go out there and say, we're going to score 80 points tonight.
Yeah.
Hey, Coach, we're trying to have an overall team.
Right. Hey, and I may be putting you on your spot, and you might not be able to answer this, but like Jason said, if you could think back to, and again, if you can't, that's fine, to the most satisfying win you ever had, and then on the flip side of that, the worst defeat you ever had.
The most satisfying win, I guess, was the first one.
Okay.
Get that one out of the way.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to be very satisfied with the rest of the season.
Right.
We lost games. We lost some. We had a lot of just knockdown drag outs, especially with Good Hope.
Uh-huh.
Bill Lay, of course, he was a tremendous coach. I mean, tremendous. But the first time we won the county, I think our record was 33-4, which is pretty good.
Bad.
And the fourth loss was in the state tournament.
Right.
And if you don't believe it's awkward and scary to take a group from the Cold Springs Mountain to play in the Coleman Coliseum,
uh-huh.
They've never seen it. the floor is wider. The floor is longer,
yeah.
And you're scared to death. But those things, see, I wouldn't take anything for those things.
Right. Hey, Coach, you were talking. You were talking about going to the state tournament. Do you remember how that process took place? I mean, were you in area play, and then after you won your area, do you remember how many games you had to win to get to Tuscaloosa? It's much different now. Yeah,
it's different now.
It used to be much more difficult to get to the state tournament than it is now because of where they have the regionals. You know, if you win one game after your area tournament, you're in the regionals.
Well, see, when we played it out, you had to play one more game. And that particular year, we had to play Vincent at Montevallo.
Okay.
So you didn't get to play on your home, on any home school.
Okay.
It was a, it was going to be a strange,
wow,
strange court. And you knew very, at that time, you know, you didn't know as much about teams that were out of your area as you do now.
Right.
You know, the way,
right,
the internet and everything is now, boy, you can get a lot of information. But there's, every year and about every game, you have something outstanding. The worst, most memorable loss I ever had was probably the second year I coached, and I was coaching in South Alabama. And we were in the area tournament playing a team that we had played once or twice before that during that year, and it was just a tough battle. It was Real Town, and you've heard of them, I'm sure.
Sure have.
And the best ball player that I had at that, on that particular team, or one I thought could help us the most, got four fouls on him. And I took him out. And, of course, when I took him out, he didn't sit down by me. He went down to the end of the bench. And there was about 4 minutes left in the game. I forgot him. And I did not put him back in. We lost by two.
Oh, me.
I bet you didn't forget him again, did you?
And that whole 4 minutes, as I watched my team, I knew something was wrong. Now, you know, I'm telling you, I told you ahead of time, you have to learn.
That's right.
I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what it was, or I didn't recognize what it was. Well, after the game, now he sat on the bench. He didn't foul out. His mother asked me, said, you know, I was really afraid that he was going to foul out. And I said, well, I put him on the bench so he wouldn't. I didn't want him to foul out. And she said, oh, okay. isn't that stupid? But, you know, it's a whole different world.
Do you get to watch him? Yeah. Do you get to watch any high school basketball now, Coach?
I go to Cold Springs a couple of times a year. I still have to watch them play.
Right.
Basketball has changed a lot.
Yeah, and I'm not sure it's for the better.
I watch some of the college finals and all, and I don't know how an official can officiate one because of the way the rules have changed.
Right, right.
It's just not as enjoyable as it used to be to me. But now I'm an old person.
Yeah. Hey, Coach. Two or three more questions, and we'll let you go. I got to ask you this because I've heard my brother tell this story over the years. Allen has told this. And I get a kick out of it every time I hear it. A player I'm sure you'll remember from Good Hope, you talk about the tough time you have with Good Hope, named Kerry Tubbs. And Adam said you would always tell him, we're going to let Tubbs get his 35 points, and we're going to beat the other four.
Yeah. Right. And it worked part of the time.
Yeah.
Well, he was going to get 30 anyway. We could double team and triple team and everybody get on him. He's going to get his 30.
Yeah.
And he was a great, great athlete, I'm telling you. But now, he wasn't by himself then.
Right.
They had some more that were really good, too, that when he was playing.
Yeah. Hey, Coach, go ahead. I'm sorry.
There was just a world of good athletes in Coleman County. And they still are. They still are.
Right. Hey, Coach, when you were coaching, can you just briefly tell us kind of what a normal practice would look like?
Oh, gosh. It depends on what time of the year it was. It was fairly rough. We didn't scrimmage hardly at all.
Okay.
I didn't believe in scrimmaging.
Okay.
We worked 5-on-5, half court, more than anything, because I wanted to correct mistakes, and I couldn't correct mistakes running up. I wasn't smart enough. Them running the whole court. Now, we did a lot of running because that was, you know, we very seldom did we have over six kids that could actually play. And I guess the one thing that bothered me more, and right before I quit coaching, was the fact that I had some kids I could not play. Mm-hmm. They worked hard. Their attitude was great. They were great kids, and loved every one of them. But I just could not play them, you know, as much as I could the other kids.
Right.
And it got to be just like an ulcer or something with me, that they put in all those hours and never quit, never complained. And I just couldn't play them enough.
Right.
I played them every chance I got. But that was the one regret, I guess, that I had all during my coaching. And I never did tell them, but... I never did... another thing, looking back, I never bragged on the boys. I should have, a little bit, you know. But I figured it this way. If we go out there and work all week showing you what to do, and then you get in a game and do it, why should I brag on you?
It's kind of expected of you, isn't it, Coach?
You know, you were supposed to do it.
Yeah, right. You don't reward somebody for doing what they're supposed to do.
Right. But... it was a wonderful time, especially at Cold Springs. It was, I guess I went at the ideal time, and they wanted to win. They had a burning desire to win, you know.
Yeah.
Really, they'd never won a whole lot. And they were eager.
Yeah.
I'm talking about eager.
And I think...
we had a great fan following.
Yeah.
That gym was full. We had about a three-foot blue block around the gym. And I've seen it where we couldn't get out of bounds to throw the ball.
Wow.
You just leaned up against somebody, and they called you out of bounds. Yeah. There's so many people there.
Good thing the fire marshal wasn't around.
Well, he was one time.
I was. But I think, you know, Coach, it's pretty obvious, though, the things that you started back in the early 70s are still, that tradition is still going on today, you know, and here we are 2015.
Well, I hope it is. I hope it is. One thing I wish would happen, I wish somebody would win six in a row at Cold Spring.
Yeah, that would be nice, but I'm not sure about that these days.
Because it would make me proud. I mean, we had some great coaches following, you know. Coach Crook at Coach Junior High, he was a great, great fundamental coach. And that's what you need in junior high.
All right.
Teach them how to do it correctly, and then they'll win eventually. And that was his thinking. Coach DeCovey that came along. Claiborne Campbell, I mean, every one of them were just extremely good coaches.
Yep.
And that's what it takes.
Coach, I was never...
Everybody pitched in and helped everybody else at that time.
Right. I never played on one of your teams, but did have you as a teacher a couple of times. I had you in ag, and then I had you for current events. And I told Ronnie, I said, when Mr. George, he didn't have to raise his voice, he didn't have to say anything, but that look you would give people, you knew you had better straighten up and fly right, because Coach George wasn't going to put up with that.
I had very few discipline problems. And
outside of Jason Speaker.
Yeah.
No. Now, you're wrong there. I enjoyed Jason and Alan. Alan had a hard time, you know. He had some sickness that really hurt him. Was he 11th or 12th grade?
Maybe I think he was right in there somewhere. I don't remember exactly how old he was.
Yeah. And, but... You know, you really never know what you can do until you do it or try to do it. And I try to give all of them the opportunity to do it if they wanted to. Now, my job was to explain how to do it and be sure they were in condition enough to do it.
In condition.
Yeah, that's a key word right there.
You know, I never shot the ball a time in a game.
Right.
I didn't play any defense. I had to just sit over there and squeeze that towel and throw it on the ground every once in a while. But it was an enjoyable ride, I'll tell you that. And the reason I don't know if Jason even knows the reason I quit coaching.
Yeah, I think I do, but tell everybody anyway. I think I know the reason. But
I told them when I came to Cold Springs that I would coach until I had two boys. And they were going to Cold Spring. I said I would coach until my oldest boy got through with his ninth grade year, because I would not coach him. I wouldn't coach either one of mine. It wasn't fair to them. It wasn't fair to me, and it wasn't fair to the other player. Now, some people can do it very well. Dwayne Adams could do it. He did it with one of his sons.
That's right.
Or maybe two sons.
Yeah, both of them.
And did it great. But I couldn't do it. And I always felt I would be too hard on mine. I'd be harder on mine than I would on yours.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I figured everybody'd be looking at it.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's extremely hard for a kid to go to school where his parents are teachers or principal or coaches.
Absolutely.
Because he can't get away with anything.
Yes.
It's hard on him.
Yeah.
It's extremely hard. But it was really a great, great ride, and I met some of the best people in the world, best coaches in the world, and as far as I know, we had good relations with all of them.
Right.
We never had any fights or any bad words spoken or anything like that. If they beat me, I hung my head a little bit, but I shook their hand and praised them for it, and they did me the same way.
Hey, one more thing, Coach.
Better than that.
One more thing before we let you go. We've took up 30 minutes of your time now, but weren't you coaching when Holy Family came to Cold Springs and the big fire erupted? Were you coaching at that time?
Absolutely.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the game at that time, Curry was in our region. Holy Family was in our region. And it was a big, big region. Well, they were in the semifinals, and this game was first, and ours was. We had a game after theirs. If whoever won would play the next night, and then the winner of that next night would go somewhere else to play one more game,
right?
And then go to state. And Holy Family was. They were always tough, let me tell you. And them and Curry were playing in that game where the fight broke out. And crowd, let me tell you, they were standing room only. When you had Curry playing and us playing, and I've forgotten who the other team was that we were having to play next. But anyway, we were waiting for that game to get over and sitting way down at the end of the close to the dressing rooms. And the Curry boy, and we filmed it. That was when they had just come out with those videos.
Right.
And Mr. Boland was filming it. And the fight broke out. Curry was ahead, one or two. And three or four minutes left was all left in the game. The fight broke out, and I mean, it was free-for-all.
Yeah, it was bad.
I was way up on the bleacher and couldn't get down, thank goodness. Because I didn't want to get down.
Yeah. You were right where you wanted to be.
I mean, I bet there's 300 people on that floor slugging it out.
Oh, my goodness.
But we had a lot of policemen there. I mean, we had more policemen than I even knew were there. And they stopped it, you know.
Yeah.
And then Curry lost. And Coach Abbott, who I played ball with in high school and lived at Curry, he called me the next morning and said he was going to protest the game. And I said, well, Coach, you might ought to come look at this video before you protest. And so he left school and came over there, and I played the video, and it showed definitely who started the fight.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And he said, well, you know, it's a lot of trouble to protest the game. And then, of course, we played, Cold Spring played them the next night. But that's the only one I ever knew of happening, you know, there.
Right.
But see, that's one of the things that they, if you want to hold, if you're, like back then, if you wanted to hold the tournament, you had to fill out all these questionnaires about how much police protection you'd have
right.
and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And
well, hey,
it never did bother us about having another one.
Yeah. Hey, Coach, bring us up to speed now. What are you doing? What are you doing now in your retired life? And have you got something else that you're kind of working on, or are you just drinking your coffee and sitting on the deck?
Well, you'd be surprised if you ever knew me. Now, Jason knew me. Alan knew me pretty good. When we retired, we started a little hobby farm here of daylilies.
Oh, okay.
It was going to be just to give us something to do, my wife and I together.
Uh-huh.
We'd always worked at the same school. We had driven back and forth from work. She was cheerleader sponsor. When I was there, she was there. And so we decided we needed something. So she loved daylilies. And being the good husband that I was, I helped her get started, and it was just going to be a little hobby. Now it's about 4 acres solid.
Oh
my goodness.
And so we are in a daylily business.
So you just sell to the public? People can buy from you?
Yeah, and we ship all over nationwide.
Well, I bet.
But every color imaginable. And we breed them. She and I both breed daylilies and register them. See, they're registered like an animal.
Oh.
You know, the mom and the daddy and the...
Wow, I did not know that.
And if they're good enough, you know, you're trying to make new colors and new shapes and all this and stronger plants. And if they're good enough, then we'll register them and put them on the market.
And wow.
Probably during my coaching career, I bet none of the boys thought I'd ever be.
No, I don't think so. When they were running those sprints.
Yeah. So you're in the day.
Didn't run that big sprint.
So you're in the daylily business. That's very good. That's cool.
And it keeps us busy. We do a lot of traveling. We do programs, PowerPoint programs on on new things that's coming out and what we've bred and things like that.
Wow.
And all over the Southeast we go.
Well,
we're trying to slow it down a little and cut back some. It's
just
gotten bigger than we're able to handle.
Wow. Well, I bet.
Coach, can't but tell you how much we appreciate, and let me say this before I let you go for the day. I can't tell you how respected you are, not only in the Cold Springs community, but your name known all over Coleman County for what you've done for basketball and what you've done for a lot of both boys and girls coming up through school, you and your wife, Tara. And, man, anytime your name is mentioned, it is mentioned in a good manner. Never heard anybody say anything bad other than maybe you run them too much. But, hey, that's to be expected.
I probably did that. Yeah. I agree with that.
And let me throw this in there. I'm the guy back here in the control room, and you have brought more people to our online streaming than I have seen in a long time.
So that tells you something,
well,
Coach.
Thank you.
And
we still live in the same place we've always lived, in Quick Curry.
Right.
Yeah. Be happy to have anybody come by. I'd love to talk to people.
Great.
Sounds like time for a class reunion.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it truly is.
You put the most boys out there and make them plant daylilies.
Yeah, there
if
you
anybody didn't do it right, you can run them.
I probably have as much control over them now as I did then.
Yeah.
You know, all you've got is a threat.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You can't make them do anything.
That's right.
Well, all right, Coach. Again, we appreciate the time. We've taken up 35 minutes of your time, but, man, I can't think of a better way for Ronnie and I to spend it than talking to you.
That's right.
Well, it seemed like about 10 minutes, and
I
am so happy you didn't ask me to name the best ball player I've
had. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I know you had a bunch of good ones, so I'm going to let you go with that one. So.
All right, I appreciate it.
Coach, take care. And,
all righty.
Thank you, Coach.
Well, okay.
Have a great one. All right. That's Coach Jesse George, Cold Springs, and I think what Jay said says it all.
That's exactly right. People probably hadn't heard his voice in many years.
Right, right.
And Jason, you get all the credit for that.
Well, I appreciate it. We'll be right back 5:05 on a Tuesday afternoon. We'll be right back, finish up with talking about Coach George now, and move on to something else.
Next topic, fights involved with sporting events.
737-9951. If you've got a Coach George memory or anything you want to talk about Coach George, give us a call and let us know.
Y'all be thinking about this when we go to break. I remember the city school system and the new superintendent took her job, and the very first football, we made like national news. I think that had to do with Curry too, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah. I know what you're talking about now.
Yep.
We'll be right back.
Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
We're the all-new Live 95. WRKM LP Coleman.
Hey Coleman, Live 95 turns 1 year old on April 7th. And to celebrate, we are announcing the first annual Live 95 Battle of the Bands. If you're in a band or know someone who is, send them over to Live95Coleman.com for all the details. Tentative date is Saturday, May 2nd, and the whole thing will be broadcast live right here on Live 95. We invite any local band to participate, and we don't care if you're a solo acoustic performer or one of Coleman's best-known bands. Send us an email at studio@Live95Coleman.com or send us a message on our Facebook page to get booked. There is limited availability, so set times will be awarded on a first-come, first-served basis. Live 95 will be taking donations at the event, and you can vote for any of the bands performing by donating to their tip jar. If you can't make the show, no problem. Donate online using PayPal from the Live 95 website and make your vote count. We'll offer each band a chance to get local airtime on Live 95 just for participating. And we'll be recording the whole thing back at the studio to re-air live cuts from the event during Live 95's regular playlist rotation. Get signed up today. Deadline to get on the set list is Friday, April 17th at 5 p.m. The set list and schedule will then be announced on Live 95 and made available on our website. Happy birthday to us! And here's to another year of providing Coleman with a unique blend of music. Come and meet us Saturday, May 2nd, so mark your calendars. More details coming soon from Coleman's independent radio, Live 95.
Back with you, 5:08 on again a rainy Tuesday afternoon. Folks, if you've got any control of the weather, please turn this wet stuff off.
It's coming down right now at the station.
We've had enough of it, Ronnie. Again, if anybody has got a Coach George, or if you didn't have him as a coach, a Mr. George, or a Jesse George, any way you want to put it, George. story, something you'd like to say about Coach George, give us a call, 256-737-9951. And Ronnie, as I put that on Facebook, it didn't pop in my mind to get him until late this afternoon.
Yeah.
We've been talking about doing this segment. But as soon as I put it on there, people started wanting to tell him hi.
Uh-huh.
People talked about how much they respected him, and as I said to him, I wasn't just making that up.
Right.
Anytime his name is mentioned, it is mentioned with respect, as well it should be.
Yeah, and it's pretty obvious by just listening to him, extremely humble.
Oh, yeah, and this guy, like I said, he is sharp, and he don't want the attention on him.
Yeah,
he wants it on the
absolutely.
Kids.
And like I said, he's got to be in his 80s
now. The way me and you were figuring it earlier.
Yeah.
I don't see any way around it.
I guess we should ask him how many years he had him when he retired, and then we could figure it up his age.
Without asking him his
age. Without asking him about saying, hey, how old are you?
Well, men take that a little better than women.
I know, exactly right.
All right. We have got Pam Bailey on the line.
You've heard
Palmer.
That person?
I've heard of her. Actually, my sister. Hey, sis, welcome to the show.
Hey.
How are you?
Oh, great. I just thoroughly enjoyed hearing Coach George on your show today.
Great.
And I wanted to mention that he was also an excellent English teacher.
Yeah, and I guess you followed in his footsteps, being an English teacher there.
Yes, he was my inspiration.
Hey, Pam, about how old would Coach George be now?
About how old would he be?
Yeah, wouldn't you think he would be, he's got to be in his early 80s?
Late 70s, early 80s, probably so.
Yeah, he sounded really good, though. He sounded very strong.
He did, and y'all did a great job with the show today. And I can understand why so many people were, live streaming that today because, I mean, he's just a great person. And his wife also taught home ec. So she was known for fixing the uniforms if they were too big or too small. She'd let them out.
And back then, Pam, wasn't the problem back then, though, too short?
Oh, yes. Very short. They did not come even close to the knee. They barely covered up the underwear.
I believe I witnessed all that on the old Star Trek series. Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to say hello, and that was a great show, and appreciate you having them on there.
Hey, we appreciate you calling.
Okay.
Thanks, Pam.
Okay.
Bye. All right. There's a Coach George story,
Coach
I guess.
George story,
and
yes,
it said his wife, home ec teacher, cheerleading sponsor, and and boy, he talked about they're in the daylily business together now. Yeah. And so,
hey, look, Jason, you've got one whole fan out there.
All right.
Say what?
A kid.
That one flew right over my head, Jay.
He's talking about Pam calling in.
Oh. All right.
Ronnie and I got it, didn't we?
That's right.
I don't think Ronnie did either. He's just making you feel good. So what we got going on?
Hey, this is just some, Jason, just quickly, and then, you know, we get through the headlines here, kind of what's going on in around some of the sports around the country. Urban Meyer is now the second highest paid football coach. He's at $5.8 million a year. And that will go up to 6.5 over the next 6 years. So he will incrementally get a raise.
Still not catching Nick Saban.
That's right. Saban makes $6.9 million a year. So Urban Meyer, second highest paid football coach in the country. One of the other headlines that's going on, the Texas A&M, both the coaches, both Charlie Strong and Kevin Sumlin, they want to get the rivalry started back between Texas and Texas A&M. You know, it used to be a huge rivalry. Then Texas A&M went to the SEC. It kind of did away with the rivalry, and now they're wanting to kind of get that.
That would be kind of like Auburn and Alabama.
That's right. That's exactly right.
The state would shut down.
Absolutely. They want to get that, that rivalry going again. And hey, did you hear that Anthony Grant is working again?
Yes I did. But yeah. Fill everybody in.
Yeah, Anthony Grant is now going back to the University of Florida, where he was prior to coming to Alabama. He will be working as an assistant with Billy Donovan, his old boss, again. Now they have very, very close ties. They are very
deep.
Well, how
tough has that got to be in his position, yeah. Will Muschamp's position, after having a taste of being the head coach, calling the shots, and now you're back in the assistant world.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it pays good.
You look at the staff that really Donovan has. He's got Anthony Grant, as we just mentioned, and then he's got Pelfrey, John Pelfrey, I believe is his first name, who was the former head coach at University of Arkansas. Before that, he was the head coach at South Alabama. So Billy Donovan's got two former head coaches on his staff.
Do you see Donovan going to the NBA? You know, he flirted with it a time or two.
He did, and you know, you hear a lot of that now. You know, there's a lot of smoke out there that, you know, he may be entertaining the idea of going to the pros now. But I don't know if you can read anything into the fact that he's hired Grant to come back to Florida. Right. I don't know. I do know from what I heard, and I don't know if any of it's accurate or not, that when Donovan a few years ago, actually he told the Orlando Magic that, you know, he was coming to them into the NBA and then backs out, that Anthony Grant was probably going to be his predecessor at Florida if Donovan had not returned. So,
and I think plans will have changed on that now. So.
Yeah, I think if Billy Donovan leaves, I don't think Anthony Grant will be getting the Florida
the
job.
On that.
Yeah, not right now, anyway. So, and of course, you know, the latest with the Masters, and Jordan Spieth winning that. Hey, and for those people out there that do like golf and that really only watch, you know, the major tournaments, the next one is the U.S. Open. That will be played June the 18th through the 21st in the state of Washington. And that's,
I will dabble in it now, but that is my one tournament a year, and like, I will watch it maybe on a Sunday afternoon
when
it gets down to maybe the last five or six holes. But I just can't.
You don't watch it all?
No, it makes good sleeping, though.
I watch a lot of the U.S. Open, and certainly the Masters, you know.
Oh, yeah.
As far superior as far as, you know, ratings and people watching, as opposed to
last year that it came such a flood and that showed all the water running across? Was it last year's Masters?
I don't remember.
I remember that happening.
It was a flood.
It
looked like a lake.
It was Roy won it. And it was dark, and then, they talked about putting it off till the next day.
Then it was the Masters, because Roy hasn't won the Masters.
Okay, then I don't know what it was. He won it, though. I remember it was so dark.
It was a major? Was it one of the majors?
Yeah. Okay, it
would have had to been. It's probably maybe either the U.S. Open, British Open, or the PGA. That's the only majors that's out there.
I don't know which one it was.
Yeah. Anyway.
You remember it, Ronnie. I'm going to... It was nearly dark, and they talked about they would put it off till the next day.
Yeah.
And he wanted to go ahead and play it out. I mean, it was tight. I don't remember who was second.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Maybe I dreamed that.
You dreamed it.
I had crazier dreams.
You dreamed it while you were watching Dog Channel, I guess that's what happened. You know, you're talking about the U.S. Open. You know, most tournaments, well, that's really the U.S. Open is the only one that if you're tied at the end of the tournament, you know, after the four rounds, you know, you go and you the next day and you play an entire 18 holes.
Play an entire
You play another round of golf. That's right. You don't play a playoff where you play, you know, X amount of holes or whoever wins. You know, well, it's sudden death, basically, in most cases. You know, whoever wins the next hole wins the tournament. U.S. Open is not that way.
Wow.
You play an entire round of golf.
Hey, I'm learning all kind of stuff today.
There you go. Just call me Dan Jr.
I'm telling you. Between you and Coach George.
That's right.
I'm walking out of here a smarter guy today.
You can put everything I teach you in a thimble.
No, don't sell yourself short.
Yeah. So, but anyway, that's kind of the highlights of what's going on in the world of sports.
Spring football, don't forget. Auburn will be teeing it up, I guess you would say, this Saturday.
Well,
their A-day game.
Alabama
this Saturday.
Yeah, both of them are playing their spring games. You know, we haven't heard a whole lot about it, maybe, or I haven't followed it very closely. Maybe you have with
not
Auburn,
really.
What's going on there. But I guess I could speak as far as from the Alabama standpoint, and then you could touch on the Auburn. And then, Jay, after we come back from a break, I got a segment of Nick Saban's interview where he talks about the situation with Geno Smith. Geno's a young man who was arrested for the second time for DUI or DWI, whatever the case may be. And we not only Jason and I, but the public in general, came down pretty hard on Saban when he talked about his interview, or when he talked about the Jonathan Taylor incident. That wasn't handled really well. I think he could have done much better, been better prepared before he went up there in front of the microphone. So, you know, he got ripped to pieces over that. But this, he does a much better job. So give him some kudos after we get back from the break on his latest press conference where he's talking about Geno Smith.
All right. Stay with us. We'll listen to Coach Saban, 519, wrapping up a Tuesday afternoon. We'll be right back. Sports Talk Live, 95.5 Coleman's Independent Radio Station.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. Gadsden police say a home invasion led to a teen's death. A woman says three suspects broke into her house in the middle of the night. She says the 17-year-old held a gun to her head, raped her, while the others ransacked her home. The attacker remained with the woman after his accomplices left and pistol-whipped her, demanding money. The woman told the teen her neighbor had her money. When the two went to the neighbor's house, the teen threatened the homeowner, who was armed, and shot and killed the teen. He was questioned and released by police. A coveted spot on the House Rules Committee going to an Alabama Representative Bradley Byrne of Mobile, along with Representative Dan Newhouse of Washington, named by House Speaker John Boehner to replace two representatives on the committee. The Rules Committee, informally known as the Speaker's Committee, sets ground rules for debate on all legislation in the House. A teen arrested after trying to steal a car. 18-year-old Donnie Terry accused of breaking into a vehicle in Pinson. The car owner confronted him and he ran, but Terry had programmed his address into the vehicle's GPS system, leading cops right to him. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. An Oregon woman facing assault charges for allegedly luring a Jefferson County man across the country so she could clobber him on the head with a baseball bat. Police say 24-year-old Haley Fox began an online relationship with Samuel Campbell of Adger in 2013. He showed up at her home earlier this month under the impression the two would be living together. That's when she reportedly led him to a table with two glasses of wine, asked him to close his eyes, and smashed him in the head and neck with an aluminum baseball bat. He suffered a fractured skull and cuts. UAB President Ray Watts meeting with the Faculty Senate today. He updated the group on the Athletic Assessment Task Force and their efforts to what he called revalidate athletics at UAB continues. He says a report from the group is expected next month. An Alabama native and music legend has died. Soul singer Percy Sledge passing away at his home in Baton Rouge. He was born in Layton, Alabama in 1944, best known for his 1966 ballad When a Man Loves a Woman, recorded at Muscle Shoals. He was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2005. Sledge was 73 years old. I'm Angie Norvell. This is ARN.
Hey, Coleman. Live 95 turns 1 year old on April 7th. And to celebrate, we are announcing the first annual Live 95 Battle of the Bands. If you're in a band or know someone who is, send them over to live95coleman.com for all the details. Tentative date is Saturday, May 2nd, and the whole thing will be broadcast live right here on Live 95. We invite any local band to participate, and we don't care if you're a solo acoustic performer or one of Coleman's best-known bands. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com or send us a message on our Facebook page to get booked. There is limited availability, so set times will be awarded on a first-come, first-served basis. Live 95 will be taking donations at the event, and you can vote for any of the bands performing by donating to their tip jar. If you can't make the show, no problem. Donate online using PayPal from the Live 95 website and make your vote count. We'll offer each band a chance to get local airtime on Live 95 just for participating. And we'll be recording the whole thing back at the studio to re-air live cuts from the event during Live 95's regular playlist rotation. Get signed up today. Deadline to get on the set list is Friday, April 17th at 5 p.m. The set list and schedule will then be announced on Live 95 and made available on our website. Happy birthday to us. And here's to another year of providing Coleman with a unique blend of music. Come and meet us Saturday, May 2nd, so mark your calendars. More details coming soon from Coleman's independent radio, Live 95.
Money, money, money.
We know what that music's all about, don't we?
Oh, yeah. If anybody has been listening for any length of time, they know anytime that music comes on, money is in the air.
That's
Moolah
it.
Has escaped and all that good
the
stuff.
The old spotty cow is out of the pasture again.
What do you buy? People's Bank of Alabama.
Absolutely.
Proud sponsor of Up Where's Moolah. And today, Moolah, let's go ahead and get this out of the way, Ronnie, has got out of Cole McKenna.
She's back out of the pasture. I don't know how many times we have gone and worked on that fence.
Yeah.
We just can't keep her hemmed
up. Moolah is, well, they need to change Moolah's name to Houdini.
That's right.
Because Moolah keeps escaping.
That's right. Now, if we didn't have People's Bank, she would never get out
of
the
pasture. No, Moolah would be probably on our plate.
I think
now.
Jimmy's going to cut in that pasture and letting her out.
Yeah.
Would be gone and would never come back.
That's
right?
Exactly. That's right. That's
People's
exactly
Bank
right.
enjoys giving that Moolah away.
That's right. We enjoy being the secondary secondary, whatever, givers of that, you know.
And folks, if you are visiting People's Bank, got to run in there for a quick visit, be sure to tell them thanks for sponsoring this and let them know that it is appreciated.
That's right.
And many other things
that
People's Bank does here in Coleman and Coleman County.
Yeah, and I think it would only be fair if Cindy Wilson bought them a ham and carried them a ham.
Oh, yeah, she needs to give them a ham, at least a ham. So Cindy could buy a lot of hams for the money, moolah.
She could buy a side of beef for what she's wanting.
All right, Ronnie, catch us up to date on the whereabouts of moolah.
All right, well, moolah, as Jason said, she is out of the pasture again. This will be the very first clue of where she is. And so, you know, it's one of those that we normally start off with. This one's also worth $50. And the first clue is, if you're looking for moolah, the sum of the highway is 16. Sum of the highway, 16.
All right. Start putting those numbers together. Number 256-737-9951. If you want to take a stab at it, and if you get it with that one clue, we'll double it today.
So, wow.
Yeah, because me and you have got to be the only two people in the world that knows it right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So. And you're excluded from the contest. Oh, speaking of contest.
Yeah, very good.
Before we go any further with Nick Saban, if you are a winner, which is pretty much everybody that played of the Bracket Challenge, Sports Talk Live Bracket Challenge, be sure to give us a call.
We'll extend that.
Yeah, we'll extend it to next Tuesday.
Through next Tuesday will be the last day.
And anybody who has already given us the information, this will be mailed out after we get everybody, so don't give up on us. We are going to send you something as soon as we get all the information.
That's right.
Give us a call, give us your information, and claim your prize.
By next Tuesday.
By next Tuesday.
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. End of the show. That's it. All right. Catch us up on Nick Saban and what we're going to be listening
to. You know, we all know this is spring football, Jason, and we'll talk a little bit more about spring football in a minute. But just briefly, before Jay cues this up, you know, with the Jonathan Taylor situation, Saban, you know, went to the press conference.
This is not Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
No. No. No, not at all. But the situation they had with Taylor there and then the press conference, he got pretty much raked over the coals by everybody, whether he handled the press conference, even Paul Feinbaum, who, thinks, Saban is the greatest thing since sliced bread as far as football coaches, pretty much ripped him, to pieces there about how he handled and what he said about the press conference. But this segment of this press conference is where he's addressing the issue with Geno Smith. Someone asked him a question, and I think he does a wonderful job as a coach or as a father of basically, you know, telling what his expectations are and talking about the youth of today. I think he hits it right on the head, and I think we need to, when he deserves praise and he deserves credit, or any coach, we should also acknowledge that just as much as we do when, you know, they maybe screw up and we rip them for that. So, Jay, if you can cue that up, please.
Well, Geno has done the things that he's supposed to do to this point. He has more things to do when the semester is over. And if he continues to do what he's required to do, he was out for 7 days. That was, the first 7 days of what he needed to do. And did it all correctly. Did it the way we wanted to do it. We test him, every day. So if he continues to do the right things, he can continue to perform. Geno has not been a problem on the field in terms of his performance. So we're encouraged to have him back, and hopefully he'll continue to improve and make good choices and decisions about what he does. These guys sort of don't, they all think they have this illusion of choice. Like, I can do whatever I want to do. And we kind of have a younger generation now that doesn't always get told no. They don't always get told this is exactly how you need to do it. So they have this illusion that they have all these choices. But the fact of the matter is if you want to be good, you really don't have a lot of choices, because it takes what it takes. You have to do what you have to do to be successful. So you have to make the choices and decisions to have the discipline and the focus to the process of what you need to do to accomplish your goals. And all these guys that think they have a lot of choices are really, you know, sort of sadly mistaken. And I think, as we all have done with our own children, they learn these lessons of life as they get older. And sometimes the best way to learn is from the mistakes that you make, even though we all hate to see them have to make them, and we don't really condone them when they do. So Gino has done a good job coming back and doing what he's supposed to do, and hopefully he'll finish that up by, you know, the end of May, and kind of go from there.
That's it, Jay. Thanks.
Yeah, that sounds much better.
Not much better?
Oh, yeah. Daylight and dark.
Absolutely. You know, he's being held accountable. If you notice, they said he's tested every day. I would assume they're drug testing him every day. I don't know what else Saban may have been talking about. So since, you know, he has had his second arrest, he's been required to do things that Saban or the university and football program, athletic department requires him to do, and I think he said that's going to go through, you know, on through May, the things that he's got to do. But I thought he did a really nice job in that segment right there, talking about the youth of today and the fact that in many cases they're never told no, and that if you want to be good, you really don't have many choices.
Right.
And I think that is just the absolute truth.
You know, youth today, Ronnie, as he said, are not told no a lot, and especially the great athletes.
Oh, sure.
I mean, let's face it, they are, once it is established, they're going to be a great athlete. They are treated different. They're treated different
right.
in school. They're treated different by their peers. They're treated different by their parents. Whatever junior wants, junior is pretty much going to get.
Yeah.
And at some point, you know, there's going to be a reckoning.
There is.
Reckoning.
So. And, you know, unfortunately, Jason, sometimes the rules are end up being different for the great athlete as opposed to the average, you know, everyday, you know, student that just goes to class and goes about their business. You know, you hate to say it, but it is true.
Yeah, that's just a fact of life.
It is a fact. But I thought he did a really, really nice job. Prior to that, he was talking about, you know, the spring football and what's going on with that, you know. But naturally, they don't give you much information.
Right.
You know,
have any idea what the Alabama quarterback situation looks like?
That, you know, all he has done is at one press conference he might praise Coker. At the next press conference he may praise Morris. At the next one he may praise Barnett. You know, he praises all of them at different times, and I'm sure the reason for that is, It keeps them motivated, keeps them active. Hey, you know, Coach Saban, he said something good about me, so he must like what I've been doing. So, you know, let me keep putting forth effort where I make him be the starting quarterback. But in terms of naming a starting quarterback, no, that hasn't happened. I don't in any way foresee that happening. I think that'll be on in the fall. That's just me.
That's Gus Malzahn at Auburn has made it appear that, and there could be a quarterback battle going on between White and Johnson, but
right.
I don't think the battle is near what it's being made out.
No. I think the Auburn's in a they're in a much different situation than Alabama is.
Right.
You know, Coker came in last year, and myself and most Alabama people said he's going to be the starter, and, you know, very rarely did he ever step on the field after the first two or three games.
We called it right here. You and I both
absolutely
said, no way Saban brings Coker in and him not be the starter.
Absolutely. But that's just not the way it happened, and who knows? He may not be it this year either. But I mean,
Jimbo Fisher really heaped praise.
Yeah, he sure did. So
he may have been glad to get rid of him.
He may have been. You know, so we'll see as far as our starting quarterback goes. There's some quality quarterbacks, you know, on the Alabama roster.
Right.
Some very high recruited quarterbacks, and we'll see how
Auburn,
that plays out.
If Jeremy Johnson is not the starting quarterback, nothing would shock me any more than that. If Jesse George were elected president,
right,
I wouldn't be as shocked as I would be if Jeremy Johnson is not the starting quarterback.
Well,
yet. Auburn.
Well, would you not think the only way that he's not going to be the starting quarterback at Auburn if that he's got to screw up and get in some kind of trouble?
Right. Yeah, I just don't see that happening with the arm that he's got. And
yeah,
I have poked fun at him, made fun of him. I even said that he would drown running through a car wash.
Yeah.
And actually, the other day I read that he had run the 40 and beat Cam Newton's time. I think he had like a 4.2 and Cam Newton was 4.24.
He ran in a 4.2. Do you believe that?
I don't know. That's what I think that time is correct. I'm going to look it up, but I do know for certain, 100% certain, they said he beat Cam Newton's 40 time.
I'll have to see that.
Which is unbelievable.
I'll have to see that to believe it.
Yeah, because he looks slow as molasses on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, in person too.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Well, you've seen him. You know, you've been there a bunch,
yeah, slow,
so you would know.
Slow's not the word.
Yeah, but certainly has every tool needed to be a great, you know, be a great quarterback.
Yeah, and he reminds me of, in some ways, more of Jameis Winston than Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Jameis
doesn't
flash,
have a set of wheels.
Runner,
no,
but could throw the football.
Absolutely,
and I think that's what Auburn's going to get in Jeremy Johnson.
Yeah, I think for Alabama, number one was, you know, going into the spring, I think some of their strengths were was that they're in their backfield with their running backs. But now, boy, they're getting down where they're paper thin with running backs here in the spring because they've had so many to get hurt. We don't know about that situation. I mean, basically what they've got practicing now is Derrick Henry and Kenyon Drake. And Drake, you know, had that very ugly break last year, and I believe that was in the Ole Miss game. So he's just now beginning to get back maybe into some kind of form. Don't know, you know, how much he's will he get back just like he was? It's yet to be determined. Still a long way to go there. So they are very thin right now due to injury in their backfield with their running backs. But I think the part of the defensive club that Bama has that has to make dramatic improvement, and I think you would probably agree with me, Jason, is in their secondary.
Oh, yeah.
Their secondary, you know, you don't want to use the word atrocious, but by Alabama standards and Nick Saban standards, they were very, very less than mediocre.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Auburn still throwing the ball.
Absolutely. So I think what they want coming out of spring is to see if they have some guys there, or if they recruited, they have some freshmen there or some redshirts that were there that can step in and play those cornerbacks and play that safety, you know, position and be more effective than they were last year. If they can just get that out of spring, it's been a successful spring because you and I both know up front, they're potentially the best defensive front in all of college football.
Right here is the official Jeremy Johnson, and it's nowhere close to 4.2. So I don't know if I picked that up or read it.
You're dyslexic.
Yeah, I don't know if backwards. I read that, somebody just throwing it out there, or if I don't know what. But anyway, his 40 time, which is still pretty dang fast, 4.51.
That's respectable.
Cam Newton, I think he was 4.58.
Cam?
Yeah. Trey Mason, to give you an idea, Trey Mason, 4.5. Cameron Artis Payne, 4.53. Cam Newton, actually, 4.59. And says that Jeremy Johnson is looking to be a Cam Newton-type runner. I just don't see it. Unless he is hitting that speed every time he's been on the football field. So.
Yeah. Does it have do you know what Nick Marshall ran it in?
I don't see his, but...
I would say he was probably quicker than the rest of them.
Oh, yeah, he is.
He could run.
Ooh. Marcus Mariota, 4.52. San Francisco quarterback Colin Kaepernick.
Kaepernick.
I cannot pronounce his last name. 4.53. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson, 4.55. So
wow.
He's ahead of good company.
Yeah, right, absolutely. So, again... Both spring games in Tuscaloosa and Auburn are this Saturday.
Have you ever been to a spring
game? No, I've never been.
Don't waste your time.
Is it that bad?
Yeah, we'll talk about it when we come back here.
I got you. I've never been down there.
Some people love it and some hate it.
To me, it'd just be absolutely just boring.
Amen. That is my exact. Yeah. I'd rather watch paint dry.
I hear you.
539. We'll be back. The number again, 737-9951. We'll be back with another Moolah Clue and wrap up a Tuesday afternoon. Sports Talk Live, 95.5. Cool.
Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
Scissor Salon is your full-service salon, conveniently located on Highway 278 East in Coleman. Scissors welcomes men, women, and children. Appointments and walk-ins welcome. At Scissors, it's all about you. Personal service and attention to detail. That's Scissors. Highway 278 East, Coleman. The little shop with the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, open Tuesday through Friday, 734-6006. That's Scissors.
All right, back with you. Speaking of quick, that was faster than Jeremy Johnson's 40 times.
That's right, man. Wouldn't even have time to go get a drink of water, would he? Jay putting us through it today.
The moolah sound, once again, right, means it's time for another clue as to where moolah is. So, Ronnie and I are sitting here looking at each other like we are lost puppies out on the highway.
I got you right here.
All right. Fire away.
Second clue, if you are looking for moolah, you're going to need to buy a ticket to get in.
That's good enough. Buy a ticket to get in.
That's right. And the sum of the highway is 16.
Put that together. Phone us, 256-737-9951. Claim your $50.
Okay, you can tell 50? Us. Okay.
Yeah.
Not 100.
No. Another clue's out now.
Okay. 100 was only
we'll
after the first
clue. We'll make it
75. 75 going once, going twice.
Hey, it's gone.
He gone. Hey, Jason, you know, the last time we, last week, both of us were on a rant due to the fact of some of the comments that Stephen A. Smith had made about Avery Johnson and being relegated to taking the job at University of Alabama and only making $3 million a year. I've pulled this up, and I'm going to go through these. These are the coaching supplements for the head coaches in the SEC. Not across the country, just in the SEC. Number one, which comes as no surprise, John Calipari out of Kentucky makes $6.5 million a year. Would you say he is worth that?
Oh, yeah.
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 I agree.
In which he was named by Forbes magazine as one of the most overpaid coaches in the nation.
But what do they base that on?
I have no idea, because it's like Nick Saban at Alabama. Nick Saban is worth every penny he has paid plus.
Oh,
probably twice
that. The returns of what that he's bringing in and them paying him $7 million a year, it's not even close. What I mean, weren't they $33 million to the good?
$33 million in the black. Auburn, on the other hand, $13 million in the hole. And
yeah.
Who knows why that is.
So, but I just want to go through these and kind of let people have a quick taste of what SEC basketball coaches are making. Billy Donovan from Florida, $4.4 million at number two. Number three, which he's not in this list at this time.
Hey, let's do this.
Okay.
Let's do a overpaid or underpaid or about right.
All right.
According to the gospel.
I'll call him out.
Ronnie and Jason.
You got it. Okay. Now it's going to be the number three paid coach is going to be Avery Johnson. He's not on this list, but Avery Johnson makes $3 million a year.
Overpaid big time.
I'm going to play overpaid as well, because we just don't know. Now, this time next year,
if
they
can
get to the tournament, yeah, that's absolutely right. But I agree with you. For right now, I say overpaid. Bruce Pearl, Auburn, $2.7 million.
Underpaid.
I agree. Underpaid.
Of course, Auburn can't afford much more than that, being $13 million.
They may need to try. In another couple of years, they're going to have to beat that or he won't stay.
Right.
Rick Barnes, new head coach of Tennessee, 2.250.
Underpaid.
I tend to agree with you there. He was at Texas for 17 years, made the tournament 16 out of 17 right. years. Guy knows how to coach.
But I'm kind of basing some of this on, I guess, what Avery Johnson's making, so it may be fair, it may
right.
not be fair.
Absolutely, and it's just our opinion.
Right.
So it really
they're not going to change their pay.
No, they're not going to change their pay. Frank Martin from South Carolina, $2.1 million.
Overpaid.
I agree. Ben Howland, Mississippi State, $2 million. $50,000
at $2,050,000, I'm going to say probably about right.
I would too, and maybe just maybe slightly underpaid.
Right.
Considering what he has done previously. Mike Anderson, Arkansas, $2.3 million.
Yeah, I can live with that.
That's about right. Andy Kennedy, Ole Miss, $1.8 million.
I would like to say underpaid, but show me something first.
Yeah.
And so far, not being showed a whole lot. So I'm gonna say about right.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Mark Fox, Georgia, $1.7 million.
He may be a little underpaid.
Maybe he had a good club this year. You know, let's see what he can do. You know, if he can string years together where they're good. Kim Anderson, new coach at Missouri. I would not have an opinion. He's at $1.2 million. Missouri was absolutely horrible, but you can't blame that on him.
Right.
So I would say that's probably just about right. Johnny Jones, LSU, $1.1 million.
He is underpaid.
I agree. Underpaid. Billy Kennedy, Texas A&M, $1 million. That this time now
he is underpaid.
Way underpaid. Way underpaid. Hey, get this one right here. Kevin Stallings, Vandy, undisclosed. They don't tell you.
Hmm.
What do you think about that?
Vandy's smarter than I am, so I guess that's okay.
Yeah. And you can see this is an old segment or an old article, Jason, because down at the bottom it says, if Alabama had hired Greg Marshall, which they did not, were not able to hire him, and paying him something like $4 million, the SEC average salary minus Calipari, he's off the chart, would rise to $2.15 million a year.
For a basketball
coach. SEC. So, bad money.
Where does it stop with the coaches? I mean,
I don't know.
Basketball, football, and as we said, if you do dollars and cents, I know it's easy to sit here and say nobody's worth that kind of money.
Right.
But if you've got an employee, you're paying them $50 an hour, and they're returning you $150 an hour, they're well worth that $50 an hour to the university anyway.
Absolutely.
So, but where does it stop with these coaches?
I don't know. I mean, 5-10 years ago, would we have ever thought we would have seen the salaries that we currently have? No. So where does it end? I honestly have no idea, Jason.
And you think, well, the ticket prices are going to get to where a family
can't afford to go.
But
it's almost that way now.
They don't care this thing about it. They got TV money.
Yeah, that's true.
And TV money rules the roost.
That's exactly right. Hey, since we just did the basketball, and I don't know if I have an average for the football, but the average for the basketball is around, I said, 2.5 or 2.15
million.
Like that. Okay, let's look at the SEC football coaches and their salary. Number one, naturally, Nick Saban. I shouldn't say naturally, but number one is Nick Saban. He makes $6.9 million per year.
I would say, if anything, he might be underpaid, but I'd say about right just because of how much money it is.
I agree. I think it's about right, but you certainly, I don't know how anybody could say that he is overpaid.
No.
You know, whether you like Alabama or not.
And I wouldn't be Saban's biggest fan, but I would say that.
Exactly. Okay, I think I know where you're going to go on this one. Kevin Sumlin, Texas A&M, $5 million.
Very overpaid.
I could not agree more.
The most overpaid coach in the SEC.
In Division I football.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, Division I football.
Yeah.
And I think Texas A&M will see that over the next year.
I do, too. He is, he's 28-11 in 3 seasons at Texas A&M. Now, that's not bad.
No, but it's not $5 million.
But it's not. That's right. It's not $5 million. He's number three. Number four is Les Miles at $4.3 million.
I missed number two. Who was number two again? Someone was three.
Maybe I over. Let's see.
you could have called it out and I didn't hear it. I don't know, but Sumlin.
That's just the way it shows up. Number one. Number two was Sumlin.
Okay. You had him at.
Did I say three? Yeah. I'm sorry. He's at two. Les Miles, $4.3 million is at three.
And I'd say, yeah, that's about right.
I agree. Miles. I think that's about right. Hugh Freeze, Ole Miss, is also $4.3 million.
That's probably about right for him, too. Yeah,
if maybe not even just a little underpaid. Yeah. You know. Number five, Gus Malzahn, $4.1 million.
He is underpaid.
Why would I ever guess?
If Ole Miss is making $4.3 million, if Auburn can't pay as much as the Mississippi schools, then...
Well, I agree. Could not agree with you more. Hey, there you go.
All right, Cindy wants to try for moolah. So, Cindy, is this the world?
Yeah, I haven't been able to talk to you in a while.
Hey, Cindy,
this
how
is
are
the
you?
World famous Cindy.
I don't know about world famous.
Coleman County famous.
Hey, Cindy, before you guess, did you hear Coach George?
Yes, I did.
That was a great interview.
I enjoyed that. And, Jason, do you remember how he would be looking at one side of the class and could tell you what was going on the other side.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had eyes in the back of his head.
I don't know how he done that.
And, Cindy, is it not true he could give you that look where those eyebrows came together and you knew he meant business?
Oh, yeah. He didn't have much trouble out of it.
No. So, you got a guess for Moolah, Cindy?
Let's try the Space and Rocket Center.
Cindy? You are close, but no cigar.
Oh, man.
Hey, man, Cindy, I'm kidding. You got it. I have no idea how.
You got it.
But you got it.
I guess it's, well, so I'm starting over. I hadn't got to play in like a month, and so it's beginner's luck, I guess.
I am
speechless.
Yeah, me too. I'm out of words on this one, Cindy.
Well,
I mean, we gave the...
Let me ask you this, Cindy. Did you have it after we gave the first one? Was it some of the highway with 16?
She had it on this out of town, right?
When I was doing 16, I thought 16, and 565 come to mind.
Unbelievable.
When you said you had to buy a ticket, I thought, Place and Rocket Center's up there. So I Googled it to make sure it was on 565, and I was like,
hey, there is a lot of things on 565.
I know. Absolutely.
Of course, Place and Rocket Center is the biggest thing on 565.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know what to say, Cindy.
Congratulations. That's all I know.
So now I have to wait till Christmas.
Oh. Yeah, you will. You're out of the game now. So that's you've already burnt that candle.
Oh, man. Wow.
So I've got to be 75. Is that right?
Yeah, 75 because you got it on the second one.
So. Unbelievable.
Hey, and here's the bad news, Cindy. I am headed out to the beach. So Monday be okay?
Well, let me just go with you.
Okay.
And I think you've been married 30 years?
30 years. Yeah, 30 years yesterday she's put up with me.
Oh, man.
Congratulations.
Oh.
But,
well, I think both of y'all are very blessed to have each other.
Thank you. I know I am. I could have done a lot worse, let me say that. So.
Well,
thank
you
could have, too,
but
yeah. Thank you, Cindy. Hey, Cindy, you got my cell number. Call the office, and Monday I'll be back in and can get that to you, sir.
All right, appreciate it, guys.
All right, thank you.
See you, Cindy.
All right, bye-bye. I didn't think I was giving it away.
No, I didn't either.
Some of the highway is 16. I mean, that could be anywhere in the state of Alabama.
Right.
And then you got to have a ticket. Well, that could have been for a movie theater.
Yeah.
That could have been for an amusement park.
Skating ring.
That's right, a skating ring.
I don't know.
I don't know either. That floors me.
Wow.
Yeah, Jay's speechless on this.
Yeah, absolutely. Give her credit. Hey, back to we're giving out salaries, so we'll wind that up, and it'll be about time.
Cindy Wilson, $4.3 million.
That's right. Yeah, tax free.
Yeah.
We mentioned number five there, Jason, was Gus Malzahn at $4.1 million. I agree with you; he's underpaid. The Mississippi schools should not be able to pay more than school in the state of Alabama, you know, for the football coach. Number six also is Brett Bielema at $4 million. I know that you're a big fan of his.
Yeah. I'm going to say for right now.
You're going to have a hidden video camera?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I'm going to say for right now, Ronnie, about right.
I think so, but I think he's done a really, good job.
Yeah.
I think they're a club that people are really going to have to look out for the next few years.
Right.
And I think I said before the season ever started they would win in six games and make it to a bowl game.
I think you did.
And some people laughed at me.
I think you nailed it. Yeah, I laughed at you.
Yeah, you did. That's right. Brett Bielema, number six, $4 million. Number seven is Dan Mullen, also at $4 million.
Well, I don't like him either.
I'm just going to say overpaid.
Yeah, I'll go with you on that one. Overpaid.
Over the body of work.
Right.
I think. He's 46-31. In 6 years.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know the record was that
bad.
That's the
record. 46-31. Okay. Next, Mark Richt, $4 million.
I'm going to say about right.
I agree with you. That's about right. He's had won a lot of ball games, you know, seems to lose a big one that, you know, that they need to be able to get over the hump.
He always loses one he shouldn't and one big one.
That's right. Number nine, my computer just died.
Number nine, I told you I didn't have Ronnie Barnes.
I can tell you the number nine was Steve Spurrier, and it was $4 million too. I can tell you that one.
He is probably overpaid at this point in his career.
Maybe so.
I think he's given up and ready to go.
Yeah, I think he's
other pastures.
I agree. I think he's seen his better days. One I do remember, I think I'll get it right, is Mark Stoops at Kentucky. I think it was like $3.25 million, something like that.
Yeah, I can go with that at Kentucky.
Yeah, absolutely. So those are just a list of SEC basketball, SEC football coaches until my computer died, and I knew it would.
Ronnie, we're coming to the close of the Tuesday edition.
That's right.
As for the Thursday edition, I will be at the beach, so who knows what will be going on Thursday. We'll see between now and then.
Yeah.
Get with Jay.
Get with Jay.
That'll be up to the man who owns the station.
That's right.
Again, I want to remind everybody, one more reminder. It's the last reminder I'm giving out. If you want to claim your prize for the bracket, for winning in the basketball bracket, you need to do it before the close of the show 1 week from today.
Yep.
That is the final. We're not extending. We've already extended this thing twice. So
right.
This will be the last extension. So call and claim your prize before the close of the show next Tuesday.
That's it.
Got anything exciting you need to say?
No, it's just about time for the NBA playoffs, and I would have given you those 16 teams that would have made the playoffs, but my computer died.
Well,
but so I can't do it.
I won't be watching that anyway.
I could give you a few of them, but I couldn't give you all of them. I do know this. It looks like that the Atlanta Hawks will open up as the best record in the Eastern Conference and will be playing the number 8 seed Indiana Pacers.
And the Lakers will not be any part.
No, the Lakers, they'll probably be in the draw for the lottery.
Very deservingly so.
Absolutely.
And so going to the 8A games is not something to do for fun, huh?
No,
it's kind of boring, huh?
Well, some people love it. Some don't like it. I went to it, Jay, and felt like I was at
it's not football.
You don't hit the quarterback, and everybody's just sitting there on their hands, and there's no win, lose.
No.
You have to realize the last football game I went to was Alabama versus Auburn. So
yeah, you don't want any part of an 8A game.
Probably a little different.
Spring football is nothing like the Auburn-Alabama game, that's for sure. So
While you're down at the beach, you should check out the Hangout. There's a big music festival coming next month, but I think every Friday and Saturday night they're having little bands playing there at the Hangout, kind of coming up towards the Hangout Music Festival. So if y'all looking for something to do, go check that out. It's usually pretty good.
Music would be the only reason I would be at the Hangout.
That's right.
I eat there one time. And
yeah, it's not really your age group.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's for a much younger crew than us.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right, time to call it a day. Time to go watch it rain, I guess.
I reckon so.
Until next time.
That's about as much fun as watching paint dry.
That's it.
Yeah. Until next time, let me leave you with a big War Eagle.
And a big old Road Tide. Have a great trip at the beach, too.
Thanks, Ronnie. Everybody be safe and join us next time. Who knows what'll happen. We'll be back. Sports Talk
Live. We know Cindy won't be
winning. Yeah, that's right. 95.5, Coleman.
Share.